Anything can happen to anybody.
Anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
And it's time for your weekly grape encounter. It's David Wilson with some very, very interesting news about new and innovative products when it comes to wine. You know, we have been seeing all kinds of people doing all kinds of creative things with wine these days. It seems like the experimentation is never ending. We see wine mixed with Coca-Cola. We see wine mixed with chocolate. And now the latest innovation is wine mixed with hard liquor, and it's coming to us from one of the biggest makers of alcoholic beverages in the world. You will not believe this hot new product about to go to market.
Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, featuring the world's most incredible selection of accessories and innovations for wine lovers.
And now it's time to experience wine in a totally different way. With your host, David Wilson.
It's not champagne, but it's in a champagne-style bottle sealed with a champagne cork. It's the same color as champagne, smells a lot like bubbly, and even fizzes like the good stuff. But it's not champagne, and it isn't even made from French grapes. And while it does contain fruit of the vine, those vines hail from New Zealand. And there's another ingredient in the bottle that probably is a dead giveaway when you look at the label. The latest hybrid wine is called Absolute Tune. And you guessed it, it's a blend of wine and Absolute Vodka. Its makers describe it as a sparkling fusion of crisp white wine with a premium vodka finish. The folks at Absolute suggest drinking it during celebrations or on a romantic occasion. This wine and vodka blend is 14% alcohol by volume versus champagne, which is usually closer to 13%. Early reviews include some positive reactions to this most daring concoction. Nonetheless, with a price tag that rivals modestly priced champagnes and higher priced sparkling wines, one cannot help but ask the question, why try to recreate something that is already so doggone perfect? Okay, well, paying $30 for a combination of vodka and wine may seem like a lot of money, but you know what? There are wines that cost a whole lot more, and we now have an entry for the most expensive bottle of wine in history. And we're not talking about wine from somebody's collection. We're talking about a brand new release. Get this. If you've been a wine drinker for any length of time, you surely have seen those locked cases in wine stores containing bottles that are too expensive for you to pick up and longingly fondle. What is likely to be the most expensive new release of all is now available for you to purchase. Yes, indeed, $168,000 will land you a bottle of 2004 Block 42 made by Australian wine producer Penfolds. And if you buy one, you'll be among an elite group of only 12 owners. Now, this isn't just any wine. It's a Cabernet made from grapes grown at a very exclusive Penfolds vineyard. Each of the limited edition wines is encapsulated in a hand-blown glass ampoule created by Australian glass artist Nick Mount. When you decide to open the ampoule, a senior member of the Penfolds winemaking team will travel to the destination of your choice, where the ampoule will be ceremoniously removed from its glass plumb bob casing and opened using a specially designed tungsten-tipped sterling silver scribe snap. Tempting, isn't it? Or you could just buy a nice $10 bottle of wine and a house. At $168,000, you would definitely want to keep a wine like that under lock and key. But you know what? There are those of us who open up a bottle of wine. It might be a great bottle of wine, and we don't have the opportunity to finish it, but we certainly don't want somebody to finish off the last bit in that bottle. So now there's a solution for those of us who want to protect our liquid assets. You won't believe the newest gadget for wine lovers and wine coveters. I remember the time I opened a rare magnum of Chateau Lafite Rothschild to share with a group of friends who were helping me to celebrate a special birthday. I generously shared most of the bottle, but saved about a quarter to savor a little later with my two older brothers. After recorking the wine, I tucked the bottle away in a fairly discreet location where I imagined it would be safe. No such luck. Hours later, I discovered that the bottle had been raided. Worse, it had been drained dry by a friend, make that ex-friend, who would have been just as happy with that $2 stuff. Well, for all of you who have been raided by wine barbarians, there's a new product that will protect your stash. It's a wine bottle lock made by Franmara Incorporated. It looks a bit like a high-style silver bottle stopper, but this little gizmo has a combination lock on the top. Just push it into the bottle, scramble the combo, and your wine is protected from uninvited winos and underage explorers. It's a great concept with only one hitch. If you forget the combo, then what? Do you happen to own a saber? Well, I've been talking a lot about expensive wines, but the truth of the matter is, for most people, it really isn't necessary for you to go out and spend a bundle of money on a bottle of wine. Because the truth is, many people don't notice the difference, and there's a biological reason why. There are literally millions of Americans who not only enjoy wine, but aspire to appreciate it even more. Accordingly, they read everything they can about wine and tune in to what wine experts have to say. A recent study in the American Journal of Oenology and Viticulture suggests that the taste buds of many consumers may simply be less sensitive than those possessed by wine experts. John Hayes is a food scientist and director of Penn State's Sensory Evaluation Center. Hayes concludes, just like some people can be colorblind, they can also be taste blind. The Penn State study measured the ability to taste a chemical known as PROP, whose bitter flavor can be detected only by certain people. Before the experiment, subjects were divided into two groups: wine experts, including sommeliers, wine writers, and viticulturalists, and non-experts, which included everyone else. The researchers found that the experts were, quote, significantly more likely to find the chemical more bitter. Close quote. Okay, so the bad news is, if your taste buds are less sensitive, you may never make it as a wine writer or sommelier. The good news is, you can save a whole lot of money by buying the cheap stuff. The nice thing about all the cheap wine that's out there is that you can buy a whole lot of it. But I'm going to tell you next about a bottle of wine that would probably supply your entire city. Yes, from just one bottle, but it's not here in the United States. You won't find it in Napa or the wine country in New York. It's coming to us from, yep, you guessed it, China. There is no question that Chinese diners are skipping a lot of jasmine tea in favor of the fruit of the vine. Wine consumption in China continues to mushroom, and the Chinese are now developing formidable wine regions around the country. The Chinese wine passion is the force behind the 6th annual Yantai Wine Expo, which will feature what is likely the world's largest bottle of wine. The bottle was created by the Jinding Company and was intended to be able to serve wine from a single bottle to literally everyone attending the expo. Imagine 8 feet wide and 30 feet long, 3 tons of wine in a single bottle. There's one thing for sure, it needs to be consumed quickly, where the makers are likely to have the largest bottle of wine gone bad in the world. That's unlikely, though. The Chinese have a passion for wine that seems unquenchable. Everywhere that good wine is made, you'll find the Chinese there, making sure they get their hands on as much as they can. And everyone knows the Chinese don't go about anything in a small way. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is check out the Grape Wall of China. Now, while it's unlikely that we will be taking our Grape Encounters radio microphones to China anytime soon, we are going to be taking our Grape Encounters microphones to Europe, and you are invited to come along for the ride as we sail for 14 days from Venice to Istanbul aboard the Regent Seven Seas. This is going to be a gourmet cruise like no other. It's wine-themed. And as I said, you're invited to come along for the ride. We're going to be stopping at some amazing ports. And every single day on the trip, there will be wine tastings, wine and food pairings, and all kinds of wine education that you can immerse yourself in. And of course, the wine drinking will be never ending. If you want more information about this trip, all you have to do is go to Grape Encounters grapeencountersradio.com. Again, it's grapeencountersradio.com. And you can click on the ad for the cruise of a lifetime. It'll take you to the place where you can find all the information that you need to get signed up for this once in a lifetime adventure. Now, this ship only holds 700 passengers, so it's definitely going to sell out. So get in on the action as soon as you possibly can. We'd love to have you along for the ride. Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com. If you're a wine lover, or even if you love spirits and beer, you'll find everything that you could ever want, need, or desire, including a lot of things that you never knew even existed at EpicStyle.com. It's the perfect place to do all your holiday shopping, so check it out. EpicStyle.com. And be sure to pick out something for me as well. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson right after this.
A meal without wine is like a day without sunshine. Except on a day without sunshine, you can still enjoy wine. A little food for thought, compliments of Grape Encounters Radio.
David Wilson here, inviting you to join me for a cruise of a lifetime. Sail from Venice to Istanbul, 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas next April 14th through the 24th, aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Our adventure begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice, then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much more. Explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. On board ship, we'll have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests. The ship will sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com. Paul Cullen is an amazing musician who makes truly amazing wines. Paul is the former bass player of the legendary band Bad Company. But today, he's an amazing pioneer in the creation of very special music written and produced to complement his equally special wines. Unplugged and Uncorked is Paul's answer to everyone who believes that music and wine are inseparable. Paul's wines are a celebration of life, from his luscious red Sonata Rosso to the purely irresistible Sonata Rosé to the wildly wonderful Sonata Bianco. Paul Cullen's wines are pure pleasure. Paired with his music or yours, savored with your favorite meal, or simply sipped on a porch swing. If you want to know more about Paul Cullen's wine and music, simply visit paulcullen.net. You can learn all about Paul's ambitious Unplugged and Uncorked project, buy wine, music, and even download some of Paul's most decadent recipes. Go ahead, live large. Visit paulcullen.net today. Welcome back to Grape Encounters Radio. Your Grape Encounter continues with David Wilson. And I came upon a story that I absolutely have the toughest time believing, but I guess it's true. Is it possible that Americans are becoming a lot more like the French and the French are becoming a lot more like Americans? Well, if you look at wine consumption, one would be led to that conclusion. There's a study just out by the French Ministry of Agriculture, and it reveals a major fall in consumption of wine by the French. It looks like the French are literally falling out of love with their signature drink. Consumption of wine in France has fallen, if you can believe this, to its lowest ever level, with the average person in France now drinking just about a glass of wine a day. So who or what are to blame for this rather dramatic and consistent decrease in wine consumption in France? Well, the government says it's health concerns and financial worries. Well, one has got to question that, because first of all, if you go to France and you go to any place that sells wine, you'll find that there's an abundance of really inexpensive wine to be had there. So I wonder about the financial worries. But of course, we have been reporting from time to time about the fact that the Chinese have been going over to France and buying up all the good stuff at a feverish pace. So maybe that's driving up the price for French consumers. But health concerns? Are you serious? I mean, almost every significant health-related story that pertains to wine says that wine is actually good for your health. So it seems to me they might be using that as an excuse, but go figure. In the meantime, in the United States, we're drinking more and more wine every day. Wine, of course, a couple of years ago became the single most popular adult beverage in America. And as I mentioned earlier, we're not only drinking a lot of wine, we're doing a lot of creative things with wine here in the States, including mixing it with almost everything under the sun, from Coca-Cola to now vodka, chocolate, you name it. Well, in the meantime, going back to France, the study reveals that 17% of the French people drink wine on a daily basis, which is a 4% fall over the same study that was done 5 years ago. What they also discovered is that the French people seem to be preferring fizzy drinks and fruit juice over wine. And when I say fizzy drinks, I don't think that we're talking about champagne. I think we're talking about sodas. Now, wine would be served at one in two meals in 1980 compared to one in every four meals today. Analyzing the trend, the authors of the study said that drinking wine has become a weekend thing, not something that people do every single day. Now, the number of French who are still totaling tea remains stable at 38%. The study's findings also reflect a longer decline in wine consumption in the country. Back in 1965, the average personal wine consumption of a French person was 160 liters per year. That's a lot of wine. Today, it's only 57 liters, an amazing drop of, what, two-thirds. Now, the decrease approximately equates to a fall in consumption from three glasses a day 45 years ago to just one glass today. Now, actually, this revelation about the fall in wine consumption in France should probably come as no surprise, because there was a study last year that appeared in the Journal of Entrepreneurship and Small Business that looked at French wine consumption and concluded that it had dropped by 3 billion bottles. Yep, French wine consumption had dropped by 3 billion bottles to just 4 billion, the equivalent of one bottle per adult each week, in a matter of just two generations. Now, what researchers have concluded is that culture may have a lot to do with it, that young people do not appreciate the cultural significance and relevance of wine in France, and so they're just more likely to drink other stuff. Now, Dr. Pascal Potet is one of the authors of that study, and he says that the younger generations may still take pride in French wine, but have little awareness of its cultural place in French history. He explains, the generational analysis of the representations of wine in France does seem to be appropriate to explain the deep changes that wine has undergone in the last 60 years. It is precisely the progressive loss of the identity, sacred, and imaginary representations of wine over three generations that explains France's global consumption attitudes, and especially the steep decline in the volumes of wine consumed. Now, even though wine consumption in France has fallen off dramatically, according to Vinepso International Wine and Spirit Research, France is still at the top of the wine consumption heap in terms of liters. It's France followed by Italy, Portugal, Switzerland, Denmark, Germany, Argentina, Australia, the Netherlands, Britain, Spain, Canada, and then finally the United States, followed by Russia. So they still are at the top of the heap, just not drinking as much wine as they used to. In just a little bit, we're going to have Sophie Gayo on, who is, along with her brother, the namesake of Gayo.com, one of my absolute favorite food, wine, and lifestyle websites. It really is probably the best of the best. Anything you want to know about wine, food, where to go, how to live life to the fullest, Gayo.com is the place to go. But we're going to have Sophie on in just a little bit. And among the questions that I'm going to ask her is whether or not she has seen a decrease in wine consumption that is perceptible in France, because she does, of course, hail from that part of the world. Anyway, Sophie Gallo coming on the show in just a little bit. But coming up next, it is the gadget guru, Matt Dubow from EpicStyle.com. And I'm excited to get his reaction to some of the things that we talked about earlier on the show. So stick around. We've got a lot more in the way of grape encounters coming your way right after this. Whether it's a birthday gift, anniversary gift, or a housewarming gift, a lot of people love to give wine, but are often torn about what wine to give. So I have an alternative suggestion. And on the line is Tom Silberkleit, who created that suggestion. Tom?
Hey, David, I wanted to let you know that people are calling me to ask if we would send them an autographed copy of one of our books, The California Directory of Fine Wineries.
That's totally cool, but an autographed copy takes a little bit of time. If somebody doesn't have the time to wait for that, what else can they do?
So I highly suggest Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or independent bookstores. That's the best way to get these books.
But if they want an autographed copy, how do they do that?
You know, I'll be happy to do it. They can contact me via my website, californiafinewineries.com, and we will personally autograph a copy to whoever the folks would like.
It's the greatest photographic tribute to California's finest wineries, the California Directory of Fine Wineries. As much as it breaks my heart, I know it's impossible for you to catch every episode of Grape Encounters Radio, and that is why we archive everything we do at grapeencounters.com. As a matter of fact, you will find a full 3 years of Grape Encounters episodes at grapeencounters.com. All you got to do is go there, look to the left, there's a button that says Shows, click on it, and they are archived by month and by year. And as I said, everything we've ever done is right there for you. We've interviewed some amazing guests. We have amazing insights into the wine business and wine drinking, and it's all about making your wine drinking experience a lot more fun. That's why you want to go to grapeencounters.com, click on the show archive, and check out the past episodes that you missed of Grape Encounters Radio. And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio. And if you love wine as much as I do, actually, that's not possible for you to love wine as much as I do, but let's just say that you did. If you loved wine as much as I do, you would be totally into gadgets. And I now have completely run out of room for wine gadgets in my kitchen and my bar area. And much of that is the fault of our every week special guest, the gadget guru, Matt Dubow of EpicStyle.com. Matt?
Hi.
You need to sell drawers.
That's next.
First of all, hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
I had an amazing Thanksgiving, and we drank a lot of wine, and we didn't open a single bottle of my wine because my brother was kind enough to bring wine from Mendocino County.
Oh, that was nice. Huh?
So we drank his stuff instead. And I, by the way, saved. He brought me some to keep, and I saved a bottle for you, by the way.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
Spared no expense. But there was plenty of wine to go around, but I wanted to start our discussion by talking to you about a bottle of wine that is just a little bit bigger than most bottles. And I see some real opportunity here if you're willing to go to China.
We go to China for what?
We go to China for the biggest bottle of wine in the world. You want to take a guess at how big it is?
I have no idea.
Gotta take a guess.
Oh, 3 times the normal size?
Well, no.
Oh.
That would be wrong. This bottle of wine is 30 feet long, weighs 3 tons.
Oh, geez.
It's 8 feet wide.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, imagine the corkscrew, Matt, that you could make to open that bottle of wine.
I don't know if there's enough steel.
Have you ever seen an auger?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be like that, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, you would tear apart that cork. You'd have to probably stick a tree instead of a cork in the...
Well, it would be a big cork, and you could probably build the Contiki out of it. Anyway, I told this story earlier in the show, and I just thought I'd just share it with you because I thought, what an opportunity for Matt. First of all, in corkscrews. I mean, I don't know if you have a corkscrew that's big enough for this bottle, but you've got some pretty tough corkscrews. So there's got to be something there.
I don't know if we could, if we have something that will open a bottle that big. But you do have quite a few different corkscrews.
But you could scale it up, right?
I don't know if we could scale it up. That's a pretty. As you said, we'd probably need some huge auger to get the cork out.
Anyway, well, this bottle of wine, they're using it at this wine expo that they're having in China. And it was made by the Jinding Company. And, you know, of course, the Chinese are making wine on their own now.
Have you had any Chinese wine?
No, I haven't. I've had jasmine tea. Does that count?
Close enough, I guess.
I'd love to walk into a Chinese restaurant and you know, and just watch the Chinese people there where they say, oh, you like jasmine tea? No, I'll just have a glass of Cabernet, please. Anyway, but they're making their own now. Now, okay, so as long as we're talking about opening a bottle of wine, I want to change the subject to another story that we were talking about earlier on, and it is about the most expensive bottle of wine in the world.
Oh, man, you have that, don't you?
I don't. No, drank it.
Oh.
Anyway, get this. How much do you think that a bottle of wine could cost? And we're talking now about a bottle of wine that's not something from somebody's collection. It's not an old wine. And I know you didn't hear the first part of the show, so unless you cheated.
No.
And listened in.
Did not.
Okay. Then you want to take a guess at the price. This is just a new release.
A new release?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's Australian. And it's the most expensive bottle of wine in the world.
And it's a new release.
Yes.
Wow.
They only made 12.
A couple hundred thousand?
You were actually high. It's 168,000.
Oh, I wasn't too far off. That seems very expensive.
Now, here's the interesting thing about it. It's not. It's contained in a hand-blown ampoule.
Okay.
Okay, which means there's no cork in it.
Huh.
And they have this special device to remove it from its casing. It's a tungsten-tipped sterling silver scribe snap.
Jeez.
You don't have those, do you?
No, we don't.
There's probably not a lot of call for those, right?
We've never received one.
Nobody's like written you an email and said, do you have a sterling silver scribe snap?
Now I'm sure I'll get tons of calls for them.
Well, as we were telling listeners earlier, the Penfolds Winemaking Company is responsible for this wine, and when you decide you're going to open the ampoule, they send a senior member of their team out. No matter where you are, they will ceremoniously remove it from the glass casing using this special device.
So what type of event would you purchase that bottle of wine for?
I wouldn't. There's never going to be a day that I buy a $168,000 bottle of wine.
So do you think it's more of, look at what I bought?
Oh, yeah, this is like, I've got money to burn. I have taken advantage of the little people stood on their backs to reach up on the great shelf of life and bring down this $168,000 ampoule, which I will have the makers come and open personally in Timbuktu.
That's crazy.
How about that? So in the meantime, the rest of us will open our wine how, Matt?
With a corkscrew from epicstyle.com.
I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to think I'm yanking your cord. But you gave me the electric corkscrew on my birthday, which was in May.
Yes.
And you, by the way, were the only one who got me a birthday present.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, it's true. Anyway, I have never used another corkscrew since.
You won't need to.
I mean, at home. You know, other places I have. But I have never used another corkscrew since. And here's the best part. At Thanksgiving, everybody in my family saw that thing sitting there glowing. And it kind of, you know, it's like it's almost making a sound like, ooh, 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 ooh. You know, it just kind of, it's kind of this pulsating blue. It doesn't really pulsate, but if you look at it, it feels like it, you know?
Right.
And everybody had to pick it up. And not a person initially knew what it was.
Really?
Yeah, they all guessed it was something else and sometimes less savory.
That's interesting, especially since you can see the worm.
Well, okay. Oh my gosh, thank you for that, Matt.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. Anyway, so that is going to be one of the hot items for Christmas this year.
I always give that as a gift. It's such an amazing corkscrew.
Whoa.
It's great.
You always give it as a gift.
I do.
So nice. It wasn't special for me?
Well, it was special for I gave it to you, but I do often give that corkscrew to many people because it is such a nice item.
It is. It is, and it is an absolutely wonderful item. I came across an item that you don't sell.
Okay.
And it's one that I'm just probably not going to get anybody. It looks like a cork stopper, you know, a wine stopper.
Right.
It's kind of silver in color, metal. But you look more closely at it, and it's got a combination on it, like a combination lock.
Right.
And so, like, if you open a bottle of wine, then you stick this in it, and then you swirl the combination, and nobody can get into your bottle.
I would say that you need that if you have that $160,000 bottle of wine.
If you got that $160,000 bottle of wine, you're not storing that thing, right? Although if you didn't finish it, you would go to epicstyle.com and you would get a preservation system.
Yes.
And you would hire a guard.
You would need to.
Yeah. Would you come down and personally guard that bottle if they needed you to do that?
Well, I think it's $160,000 because you have to fly somebody from Australia to come over and open it.
That could be the reason why. That could very well be the reason why, but it I don't know the idea. Do you think you'll ever carry a lock for your bottle of wine?
No.
Yeah, look into it, you know. But it just seems to me like you open the bottle of wine. How long are you planning on saving it that you have to lock it? And then on top of that, you can't use a preservation system, can you?
Well, you could use actually some of the inert gases.
Oh, yeah, spray that in there.
And spray that in there.
And then lock it up.
Now,
what are they going to do with this ampoule? Because you don't have any kind of stopper that's going to work on that.
That's not a wine I think you're going to save. If you open that up, you're going to drink it all at one sitting.
Yeah, that's a one-shot wonder.
Right, because you're opening it to impress multiple people, I'm assuming. And so everybody is going to have a taste of it.
Yeah, they've made it sort of like the Holy Grail, or in Monty Python, the Holy Hand Grenade, perhaps. But it's, you know, it's in a special case, and then it's in the special ampoule, and the ampoule's made by a renowned glass blower, and they send out somebody to ceremoniously open the thing up. But the one thing they don't talk about, guess. The wine.
Oh, how good the wine is.
It's a Cabernet. Yeah. It's all about the ceremony, I think.
But, well, yeah, again, I'm no joking. I think it's because you have to fly somebody in from Australia. That's not a cheap flight. And then probably the glass, you know, the hand-blown glass container. It's all pomp and circumstance.
Wow. There's a big word.
I opened up the dictionary today.
Two big words. Well, you obviously graduated from school.
I'm edumacated.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just educate people a little bit more. If you really want to impress people,
yes,
you do not need to buy a $168,000 bottle of wine. You need to go to epicstyle.com. That's it. You will find cool stuff there. Lots of it.
So many cool items and items for everybody.
Yes, even me. You thought that I could not be impressed, and then you got me that electric corkscrew, and you made my life.
Well, I'm glad I made your life.
Yeah, and now, but you know, in a way, I feel like that electric corkscrew has warmed me up a bit to screw caps.
Really?
Yes, because it's so fast and easy to take the cork out. You know, it does take some of the ceremony out of it. And I'm just like, okay, just get me to the wine, quick.
Well, next, I'm going to be hearing you're going to be a big box wine guy.
Well, actually, truth be known, I was at a store 2 days ago shopping with someone, and I said to them that there was a boxed wine there. I don't even mind saying it. It's called Black Box.
Okay.
And it's like around $20-something a box, right?
Right.
It's good.
Really?
Yeah. And it holds, what, 4 or 5 bottles in those boxes? I think it's 4 or 5. I can't remember. But anyway, it's a very good value, and the wine stays really, really nice there. So the thing is that they got to buy a decanter. Because right, there's no way you're going to serve that out of a box. You keep the box hidden away. You put it into a decanter. You can get lots of decanters at epicstyle.com, by the way. Yeah. Shameless plug there.
Thank you.
And then you just put it in the decanter and you're done.
And I appreciate that, but I don't have a whole lot of shame when it comes to my wine. So I would have no problem putting that on the kitchen table and pouring directly into the glass and let everybody see in the box.
Okay. We are going to change your name from Gadget Guru to Mr. Humble. Matt Dubow, that's a sign of great character that you have zero pretentiousness
in
your body.
I don't. It's all about getting together with friends and having a good time.
Okay. Can I still serve it from a decanter? Will you like me less?
No. You can do however you want to serve it. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well, even though Matt would serve it to you from a box, you can go to epicstyle.com, do it the David Wilson way, and get a nice decanter and serve your boxed wine that way. Believe me, it'll make you feel better, and your guests will appreciate it more. So there, Matt. I'm going against you, but it's really to try to help you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's going to do it for Matt Dubow, our gadget guru, the humble magic guru, the unpretentious gadget guru of epicstyle.com. Matt, can I talk to you next week?
Of course you can.
Okay, let's see what we can do to stump you next week. Take care.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters after this.
David Wilson here, inviting you to join me for a cruise of a lifetime. Sail from Venice to Istanbul, 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas next April 14th through the 24th, aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Our adventure begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice, then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much more. Explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. On board ship, we'll have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests. The ship will sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's grapeencounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. Grapeencounters.com. Back with more Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here. And I was talking to you earlier in the show about this amazing study that comes from the French ministry. And I said we were going to try to get Sophie Gaio on from Gaio.com to talk about this, because if there's anybody who knows a bit about the French drinking and eating habits, it's Sophie. Sophie, welcome to the show.
Hello. Bonjour. No, I should say that in French, right?
Do I have to speak French this whole segment?
Do you want to?
No.
Okay.
That would be funny. But have you seen this study?
Yes, I've seen that study, and it's every 5 years the Ministère, of Agriculture requires that study, and the numbers are very staggering. They're not good for the wine growers, because from 160 liters per adult per year in 1965, they are down to 57 liters in 2010, which is, a drop of three times less.
It's a huge drop.
Huge drop. So it's probably, the habits are changing. First, there's this health conscience thing. So, the number that number of liters per person per year is equal to about 3 glasses a day. Was equal to 3 glasses a day. Now it's like 1 glass every other day. So it's a big drop. So probably because of all the driving campaign, you can't be drunk and drive. And the health thing, the more you drink, the worse it is for you. And also, there are some other drinks that have surfaced on the market, juice and other drinks like that.
They say fizzy drinks, but they're talking about soft drinks, aren't they?
Yes.
They're not talking about champagne.
No, unfortunately, no.
Okay. Well, listen, you know, gayot.com, and that's G-A-Y-O-T, is really my favorite food, wine, and lifestyle website on planet Earth.
And, I like to hear that.
Well, no, but it's the truth. And I always appreciate the fact that you post some really interesting stuff on our Grape Encounters Facebook page. But, you know, you really have your finger on the pulse of what's going on food and wine-wise all over the world. Have you noticed, first of all, being from France, have you noticed a decrease in consumption, or is it just not that obvious?
It is a little obvious when, you know, I was there for a while, and I just came back. And the thing that drives people for drinking less is, like, I got to drive.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And it's probably, you know, also it's more expensive to drink wine than some other drinks. So that probably affects, it's a whole together between the health, the don't drink and drive, and then the price point and the economy, which is unfortunately, we know that it's not as good. People drink, they do drink less.
But I was saying this, that it's probably not going to hurt the French wine makers because the Chinese are buying up all the wine anyway. So what's the difference? They're still selling it. And for a much bigger price too, right?
Some markets, like those emerging markets, they're interested into also the expensive, you know, wines. They want the names, so the big Chateau in Bordeaux and, you know, Maison in Burgundy. So that's hopefully they'll, you know, catch up for the French drinking less wine.
But, you know, this idea that it's health concerns, you know, all we hear about here in this country is how good wine is for you. So I'm surprised that the French are not touting that there. In fact, you know, it was called the French paradox anyway.
Yeah, but the French paradox is, what's the French paradox number? It's 1 glass a day.
Oh,
it's not 3 glasses a day.
Okay, well,
that's what it is. Well, yeah.
But I come from the school that if 1 is good, that 2 is better and 3 is perfect. All right.
Well, if you have that big turkey for Thanksgiving, you know, and then you drive a little later at night, that might be perfect. But if you have this light meal and then you're going to drive, that's perfect for your taste, but not for law enforcement.
There's some big changes going on here in this country, don't you think? And let's talk about that.
Yes, there are some big changes. I am witnessing the birth of the American bistro food.
Yes.
Which is food, what we call, you know, bistro French food, but it was American habits and ingredients, like it was in Tampa. So in Tampa, I did as many restaurants as I could, and I was very, very happy when I left. And one restaurant one day, I go there on a Sunday, and Sunday it was a combo of brunch, lunch, and everything. So the first course that comes out is fried jalapeno peppers.
Okay.
Very nice. Okay. The second course that comes, it says, oh, this is a flatbread we make at home, and we make the jams covered, and I guess some noise went up, and I didn't hear what was the flatbread covered with.
Okay.
When I tried the flatbread with the jam, it was baked peanut butter on that flatbread.
No.
Okay. See, right after the jalapeno grilled peppers. So this is bistro food, but this is not French food. You would never find that into a French restaurant. That combo of the jalapeno peppers plus those peanut butter and jam, it was so good. This is new. And then courses after courses, it was perfect. And another one, that restaurant is called Boca in Tampa. There's a lot of influences from the south, from the other side of the Pacific Ocean. It is good food.
But there's a lot of blending of different styles and ingredients and things like that. It's almost like architecture or interior design. It used to be that when you decorated a room, for instance, everything had to match. And now what's really in is to have everything a bit different. Are you seeing that in food as well?
Yes. You know, so what I like about that American bistro food is there's a kick on every dish. There's something special. There's the level of American cuisine going up and going up from the bottom, which is better because going up from the top, not everybody can afford the top, but the bottom, more people can afford the bottom.
So the lesson is really good, really creative food, really good prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect world.
And then bistro, because when you go fine dining, it's complicated to understand. There's some ingredients you're kind of scared of. It's like seeing this gorgeous woman on the cover of Vogue magazine. You're not that woman. So you prefer to see a regular-looking woman with nice makeup, that you can identify yourself to that. So when you go to the American Bistro Cuisine, this is something you can understand what's going on.
And the thing that I want to end this with is the fact that in most of those bistros, really interesting wines as well.
Oh, yes, yes. Those guys creating this cuisine, which is very creative, they also go their way around to find some artisan wine, some special wine, or small production or stuff. And they emphasize on the wines. And also the drinks, the cocktails, like homemade, you know, fresh squeeze that they put into the Cosmopolitan. They would put fresh grapefruit, things like that. So it is getting much better and then creative. That's good.
Sophie, it's gayot.com, gayot.com. You could spend days on that website just discovering, can't you? You can. Okay, Sophie, next time we're going to do a whole show together, okay?
Yes, of course.
We'll just get together and we'll sit down somewhere and we'll eat, drink, and be merry for an hour on Grape Encounters Radio. Deal?
How many glasses of wine we are allowed to drink?
As many as you want. Nobody's driving. Sophie, Guy, I so appreciate you being on, and keep posting on the Grape Encounters Facebook page. We appreciate it. And that's going to do it for Grape Encounters today. We'll be back same time, same channel. So pop open another bottle, enjoy your day, and don't drive.
Thank you. Bye-bye.